is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
A very important election, April 19th, to run for 6 weeks. The world's most populous democracy, India. And I welcome Sadanand Dume, writing his column for the Wall Street Journal editorial page. He's also at the American Enterprise Institute, helping me to understand the contest between the BJP, that's Narendra Modi, running for his third consecutive term to lead the BJP in the majority in parliament, and the Congress Party, once dominated the governance of India, but now led by Rahul Gandhi, who is the heir apparent of the very famous and very successful Gandhi family. Sadanand, it is a surprise to me to learn that the Congress Party, as you presented, seeks to regain authority in the parliament by running on the caste system, which was always taught to me in the 20th century as holding India back. What is the thinking of Rahul Gandhi? Why is he emphasizing how you're born matters more than what you know or do? Good evening to you.
A very good evening to you, John. Well, you know, in a nutshell, what the Congress Party is hoping to do is it's hoping, as you said, to win the national elections, which begin on April 19th and end on June 1st, by trying to gin up a support for this idea of expanded caste quotas. Now, India is already a country where about 50%, almost 50% of government jobs and almost 50% of places in tertiary education, places like medical school, engineering school, anything that is funded by the government, are basically given to people based on quotas. So for about half the seats, people compete openly, regardless of your birth. And then for about the other half, it's kind of divided and it's sliced and diced based on caste. Now, many people would argue, including me, that India is already being held back because there's such a heavy emphasis on these birth-based quotas and not enough space for merit. There's only merit in 50%. And what Rahul Gandhi wants to do is to increase the quotas even more, and who knows where, but presumably, based on what they're saying, they want the quotas to hit 70 or 75% or something in that vicinity.
You write that this resembles an Indian DEI program, which, of course, the way I read it is that the DEI resembles an Indian caste program. Is this a popular idea that, culturally that caste should dominate our conversation? Is that practiced routinely?
Well, it is not popular. We're going to see the proof of the pudding in the elections. But the truth is that caste has been salient in Indian democracy for a long time. So, for example, when parties choose their electoral candidates in parliament, even if they may not say this openly, they typically they'll kind of try to get a sense of the caste demographics of a particular constituency. And let's just say it's a constituency that is dominated by Rajputs, who are, of the warrior Kshatriya caste. The odds are that Rajput candidates will be fielded in such a seat. So it's not as though caste has not been part of Indian politics. It's been part of Indian politics. But traditionally, Congress and the BJP as the two kind of leading national parties have tried to stay above the fray and not use it too explicitly in their messaging. And this was really something that was more done by smaller state-based parties whose appeal would, just be starkly and nakedly to identity politics, saying that, our leader is from this particular peasant caste, and look, 25% of the state's population belongs to the same peasant caste, so you should all vote for him because we're all the same caste. This was not something that typically Congress did. Rahul Gandhi's own great-grandfather, Jawaharlal Nehru, was contemptuous of this kind of politics. So in a way, it kind of signifies the moral fall of the Congress Party, that they're reduced to promising caste quotas in a desperate bid to defeat Modi.
You mentioned his great-grandfather and India's first prime minister, Mr. Nehru, but his father His father said that we're looking for a casteless society. This is Rahul Gandhi's father, Rajiv Gandhi. Is this a cynical decision on his part? He certainly must know what his patronymic is, and that this is antithetical to how he got to be the leader of the party.
It's not antithetical to how he got to be the leader of the party, because ironically, the leadership of the Congress Party has been birth-based, kind of like the old caste system, right? His great-grandfather headed the party, and his grandmother headed the party, and his father headed the party, and his mother headed the party, and now he's heading it. So the Congress really has been following its own version of the caste system, where the job just goes down the line from father to son, or in their case, from father to daughter to son. And so on. But it is true that philosophically, he is completely betraying what the party stood for. The idea was that the party was going to unite all Indians, and the idea was that it was trying to modernize India and move away from these ossified ancient ways of thinking. So in that sense, it's a real betrayal of the party's philosophy, though it's not exactly a betrayal of his own family's record.
Speaking of the BJP, Narendra Modi's party, you report that it has had a success in putting together 3,000 castes and 25,000 subcastes. What did it achieve? How did he do it?
Well, you know, ideal. But they've done a couple of things, right? They've done. I mean, this has really been a central part of their strategy for several decades. And even before the existence of the BJP, the RSS, which is kind of the mothership of the BJP, the main Hindu nationalist organization in India, they identified this going back to the 1920s. You know, their effort has been to try to unite as many of these very disparate Hindu castes under one umbrella as possible. And the real masterstroke in terms of how they've achieved this has really been Modi himself. Because what happened before Modi was that the BJP would get votes from all sections of society, but it was widely seen as an upper caste dominated party. Specifically, it was seen as dominated by the Brahmins and by the traders, the Baniyas, which is the Vaishyas, which is a trader caste. And these are both upper castes. What Modi has done successfully is that he has retained the party's upper caste base, but also expanded it very dramatically to include all sections of Hindu society. And he's done that partly by being a very good orator and a very good campaigner, but he's also been helped by the fact that he himself belongs to one of these underprivileged castes. He himself was, you know, grew up poor. The Modis are, it's a caste of oil pressers in Gujarat. He famously sold tea on a railway platform as a young man, as a teenager. And so he's able to tap into a certain amount of caste solidarity based on himself coming from a backward caste background, and at the same time retain the loyalty of the so-called upper caste, because he's, you know, preaching a more inclusive message, at least within the Hindu community, of uniting rather than dividing.
The vote begins April 19th. Sadanand Dume for the American Enterprise Institute and the Wall Street Journal editorial page. I'm John Battle.